Everybody. My name's Gillian, this is Sophie, and just to give you a heads up, this is the first time that we've done this, and largely it's because I wanted to give an opportunity for young people in our church to speak, and as Sophie is our only young person, it seemed fitting and right that she have that opportunity. Not least because, you know, we have seen people going out from our church, and, you know, we have a wealth of storehouses in this room. And Sophie's done all the right things. She's done the Encounter, School of Champions, and it was time to kind of push her out of the boat a little bit. So I'm just going to let you introduce yourself a little, first of all.
Hello, I'm Sophie. I guess for a lot of this, I'm not going to be talking. I'm going to be repping the Compassion t-shirt. That's going to be my job for most of this, actually. But I'll put my two cents in a little bit later.
Okay, so Soph is she's a gymnast. She goes to Etobicoke School of the Arts. She's an incredibly busy little individual. And every now and then I scoop her up at 9 o'clock at night and say, okay, I think it's time you need to go to bed. Or she says, you know what, Mom, it's time I need to go to bed. Because she's a busy, busy girl. But she was the one who introduced me to this organization that we want to speak about, but also speak about our response as Christians. So I have to thank Sophie for us being here. I'm just starting off the speaking. She's going to speak from our heart about her experience. So first of all, you're seeing the title, Start Small, Think Big. Now, we have some big things happening in this church, not least with what Anna's doing and Natasha and other people. And sometimes you get the idea of the only response I can give to a Christian message is to have, you know, a huge vision that I'm going to sell everything and go. And that is, you know, that could be your message. That could be the thing that you are going to be doing. But I just want to encourage you that sometimes God asks us to start a little smaller than that. And he's just asking us to be kind of faithful in what he's given. So I just wanted to read to you a story from Matthew 25, just to start off the story. It is like a man who is about to take a long journey. And he called his servants together and entrusted them with his property. To one he gave 5 talents, probably about $5,000, to another 2, to another 1. To each in proportion to his own personal ability. Then he departed and left the country. And that's how I want to start our meeting today. For all of us have been given something, whether it's $5,000, $2,000, $1,000, or we've got 25 cents in our back pocket. We've all been given something by God. We all have gifts, talents, time, energy, money, vision, finance, all of those things. What are we doing with those things he's given us? So this is, whether you knew it or not, this is our Compassion Sunday. So say, woo-hoo for Compassion Sunday. Woo-hoo for Compassion Sunday. Okay, Compassion asks people who are part of Compassion, like Sophie, to bring a message to the church, just to kind of say, look, this is what I'm doing. Maybe you could be interested in getting involved. And it's about changing the lives of children who are in desperate poverty. Okay? Not least are we, this isn't just a good idea. In Psalms, in Scriptures, all through Scriptures, in fact, there's a little sheet outside that lists all the Scriptures that refer to God's goodness and his love towards those who are in poverty. And here's one, defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. And I can't say anything more than that. I don't think our whole mandate as Christians is to love one another, to honor God, to love him with all your heart and soul, and then to love one another. And of course, the mandate to look after the widow and the child. And it seems interesting to me that the people who suffer the most in poverty are very often the children, followed closely by the women of a society. Because we now know that in wars and in situations of terrible crisis, women and children are often the most hard hit. And so it is not without reason that we have that mandate, which is to care for the widow and the child. Just so you have some information, a child dies from hunger, not from hunger, but there you go, from hunger every 5 seconds. That's a worldwide United Nations statistic. One in every 6 children between 5 and 14 is involved in some kind of child labor. And of course, we understand that that may include the sex industry too. More than 1 billion, that's 1 in 5 people, live on less than a dollar a day. Actually live on less than a dollar a day, not donate a dollar a day somewhere. And so these kind of figures, and there's more figures than this, begin to impact us and say, okay, so kind of what are we going to do about this? And there are only so many responses we can give. We can simply look at our own selves and say, well, where am I at? What have I got that I can give away? Have I got 5,000, 1,000, 2,000? Maybe I haven't got anything in finances. Maybe I have time. Maybe I have energy. Maybe I have vision. But just to go to God and say to him, I'm taking one small step of faith that I can make a difference. We know that God is a God of multiplication. Not only did you hear about the 7 times blessing that I pray that my daughter receives because my sort of not my, quite my generation, but the generation before me and my generation have kind of missed out on receiving, and therefore we want to pass that generation on. He's a God of multiplication. He's a God that if you give him something small, he will multiply that. And so we have the parable of the mustard seed, Matthew 17, verse 20. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, because nothing will be impossible for you. And that's kind of what I want to impart to you a little bit this morning, is that you might see yourself as only having a mustard seed of something. A mustard seed of finance, a mustard seed of faith, a mustard seed of time or energy. But that is enough. That is all that is required. Together, our small steps of faith can bring hope for a brighter future into the lives of children living in poverty. Those are incredible words. But I want you to see, actually physically, what something like an organization like Compassion can do for people who are in dire need, who are in dire poverty.
It was lunchtime. We were sitting around a table and we were all holding hands. And my father was praying for the lunch that we were about to eat. But there was only one problem. Our table was empty.
My earliest recollections is finding myself at the age of 5, roaming the streets, eating from dumpsters.
We were not able to have food at all.
We were forced to live with 17 of our other relatives in a very small shanty.
No toilets.
A lot of crime.
No running water.
Rape for children.
If you want to be out of poverty, then you have to deal with drugs.
Some of my friends were actually sold into prostitution.
Kids dying for preventable causes.
And as darkness engulfs the place, the devil takes over.
One morning, I just woke up that, you know, my uncle is just touching me in some parts of my body that I just thought to myself that this can't be happening.
One day, my father was murdered right next to my mother, and I knew that moment that my life had changed.
I watched as my 10-month-old sister died in the laps of my mother out of starvation.
My relatives would always tell me, Michelle, you are so ugly. You will become nothing but a thief and a drug addict when you grow up. And those were the words that I heard from people whom I expected to love and take care of me.
Poverty had told me I am hopeless, I am nothing, and I believed that. But right in the middle of this desperation, it was then that Compassion intervened.
One Sunday morning, my Aunt Carol, she's the only Christian person that I know during that time, she woke me up and said that we have to go to this church, and she registered me.
What joy and dancing came to my home at the news that I'd finally got a sponsor.
I received my first letter.
We wrote back and forth.
And he told me, you are my first friend outside my continent.
She said, words like, Richmond, I love you.
And that lightened me up.
My sponsor told me, Michelle, you are beautiful. You are precious to us, and we love you. And the words touched the very depth of my heart and soul.
18 years later, here I am, a child rescued from hopelessness.
My name is Michelle.
My name is Tony.
My name is Jimmy.
My name is Richmond.
And one act saved my life.
And one act
saved my life.
Saved my life.
Will you act?
The choice is yours.
Sponsor a child through compassion today.
Release a child from poverty.
From poverty. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
One small act can make a big difference. Sponsor a child today. Start small. Think big.
Very moving excerpt, and I have to admit that every time I see it, I'm moved by those words of being so hopeless that nobody had ever told her that she was beautiful, so hopeless that they believed that they had nothing, and so hopeless that they believed that they would be the thief, the drug addict, but that something, someone, an organization, a person stepped in. Jesus came into the middle of that. Jesus came into the middle of that through an organization and then through a person who made a contact with one of those children. And I mean, the worst thing is that we know that there are still many, many children out there who are either not even in contact with somebody from Compassion, but actually either in the Compassion organization and still awaiting some kind of sponsorship. Just to let you know what actually happens through Compassion is, first of all, the monies goes to two places. It goes to the child themselves, but also to deliver help through the local church, the church that is supporting the Compassion program to which the child has been sponsored. This provides them with incredibly needed health service, education, which, as you know, if you want to make any change in a child's life, being healthy, well-fed, nourished, and educated are the bastions of what is needed. And also supplemental food, of course. And fundamentally, they're given the good news of Jesus Christ. So this is an organization that puts Jesus right at the heart of it. They're teaching the children about Jesus. Many of them will come because they want the food. Many of them will come because they have the need. But they're also given not only a flesh and blood reaction from Jesus Christ himself through the hands and feet of Christians, but also they're taught about who he is. And so I just want to leave this quote in mind before I hand over to Sophie. What joy and dancing came to my home when I heard the news that I'd finally got a sponsor. Because sponsors are the lifeblood. As you saw, they're the ones that bring the hope. The organization puts the things in place, but the sponsor is the person who brings Jesus directly through letters, through photographs, through gifts, and just opens that up. And a sponsor can make a huge difference through regular contributions, obviously, through gifts at Christmas and birthdays, through letters, and through knowing that they're being prayed for. And that's what Sophie did. So I'm just going to hand over to you.
Okay. Sorry, I have a cold. So my story is, I was at Fresh Wind, and for anyone that's been or has heard of it, it's a big youth conference. Everyone's jumping around, praising God. It's great. And I think, I don't even know, there was the compassion table. And hanging out in the front lobby, you kind of just glanced over at the pictures, like people would talk to you, but like you were busy, you're going out for lunch, you know, not much time. People talking about it at the front, saying, oh, everyone go check out the compassion table. Not that I wasn't interested, but I wasn't kind of zoned into it until I think I was actually just bored standing by the table and looking over, and I saw all these faces, and I started picking them up and reading their stories, and it eats away at your heart. But I saw a picture of my sponsor child, who her name's Mue. It's a blurry picture, but she's beautiful. And I was reading the little blurb, and in it said that one of her favorite things to do was to play house. And I don't know, that hit me. And it kind of just turned on, I realized like this is a child, and this is someone that needs help. And to think that I had the ability to help her, something I wanted to do. So I think I probably either texted or called my mom at that moment and was like, hey, can we sponsor a child? I make this much money coaching gymnastics, even though I coach gymnastics 2 hours a week, making minimum wage. I don't think I was actually coaching. I was probably a coach in training, making like $7. So I was like, I have this much money per month. I can put in as much as you'd like me to. I just really like to do this. And I got the typical mom text, oh, well, we'll think about it. Maybe. And I think I called or something and just shared my heart about it and just said I really would like to do this. And I don't think I could keep a hold of the picture or the little envelope, but I kept it there, and I thought about it. And when my mom came, because I was there by myself, I guess, and when she came, like, please, mom, please, can we please do this? And we did. And I kept the envelope, and I opened it up right away, reading everything I could about her, and just keeping the picture in my hand. And I was standing at the top of the steps in the airport campus, probably during one of the speakings, and just looking at her and just smiling because I knew I could help her. And I got to start writing to her. And oh, she's an amazing little girl. Every time she writes back, she sends me pictures. And she's an amazing artist. She's 12 years old, and she's a better drawer than I am. So, like, every single time, it's just great to open the letters from her. And that was my Christmas card. she ends every letter with love in Christ, but it's she's from Thailand, so it's a phrase in Thailand that I don't know what's legitimately translated to, but every letter is love in Christ, Mue. And it's just beautiful to see her grow. She tells me how she does in school. I think last year she was seventh in her class. A couple months ago she was fifth in her class. She's second in her class now. She's a second. she tells me that she goes to the project and she's never absent and she loves it there. She tells me about her family. Her family is very poor. She has an 8-year-old little brother. She likes to play volleyball. She wants to be a teacher, and her favorite flower is a jasmine. And just hearing from her and getting to tell her how great of an artist she is and how her dreams can come true, and when she tells and she blesses my family and my work, every letter is, I'm praying for your work, I'm praying that you'll do well in school and that your family is blessed so you can continue sponsoring me. And just every letter is so thankful. And for Christmas presents, she bought a flute. She's learning how to play the flute. And she tells me about it. And it's just such a great experience to actually be able to connect and to actually have that spark between us.
So you can imagine, I mean, when Sophie came to me at first, you know, I was doing the typical mom thing of, well, you know, let's have a look at the finances here. Let's have a look at the situation. But when I heard that Sophie was, you know, willing to sacrifice her meager earnings, and they've improved, but they're still meager in terms of how much time she and how much money she earns. But she is very, very willing to put this towards Mue because she values Mue, and also she knows that she can make one little difference. And sometimes we kind of get a little swept away with the awesomeness of the job in front of us. I mean, you know, I'm a teacher. Some days I stand in front of a class where it's just, you can see the pain, you can see the hurts, you can see the behaviors, you can see the acting up, you can see the failing, you can see the problems. And you look at a class of 35 and you think, oh my goodness. And then you're reminded of the story. Some of you probably know this. The story of the man who was walking on the beach one night, and he sees all of the starfish that have been washed up on the shore and left to die, because as surely as they stay out of water, they will die. And so he one by one takes the starfish and puts them back into the water. Another person walks by and says, you'll never make a difference. There's too many of them. And as he's picking one up, he says, yes, but I'm making a difference for this starfish. Okay? That's what we're called to. We can't save the world. We can't save the world. Jesus can. We can't save the world, but we can save the world, somebody's world. We can do something for somebody. And it may be as much as starting as small as helping out in your own neighborhood. If you can do something small, that's fantastic. If you haven't got finances, because this isn't just about compassion and sponsoring a child. But if you haven't got finances, then what have you got? 5,000, 2,000, 1,000, 25 cents. What have you got? And what is God asking you to do to touch somebody else's life? To touch some little starfish somewhere? Because that's what I see, you know, in my classrooms. And sometimes I just look across them and I'm like, God, who do you want me to touch, to speak to today? You know, and it'll be one kid that he'll ask me to kind of focus on. You know, sometimes it's the little ESL kid who's like struggling. Or another time, it's the behavioral one. So I'm joking. I'm not letting him leave the classroom. I'm not letting him get so cross with me that he's going to leave. I'm just going to focus on him and I'm going to love him. You know, I love you, man, but you got to sit down. You got to stop walking up the walls, okay? You got to sit down. So Zechariah 4:10, who dares despise the day of small beginnings? Whatever we do for another person, we do it for Christ, right? And how dare we think that one small thing, even Sophie's little sacrifice, how dare we think that that's just too little? Oh my gosh, it's not. That's not going to do anything, Sophie. That's going to change the world. You're disillusioned. Ah. That's what we can say to ourselves. We can say to one another. But God does not despise the day of small beginnings. Whatever we do it with sacrifice and sometimes with heartache and pain. It wasn't easy for her to hand over her money when she didn't earn very much. But we do it because we know that something happens in the heavenly realms and it is supernaturally multiplied. So however hard it is for us, we've got to trust that our heavenly daddy can do something very special with that. 18 years later, here I am, a child rescued from hopelessness. I think it's Richmond who says that. Not only are they rescued from hopelessness, but they in turn become a light of hope in their communities. And as you know, if you give somebody something and then they spread it to the people they know, that's multiplication. I can't go into ESA with Sophie. I can't spread the love of Jesus in there. So I pour into Sophie because I know she goes into ESA, her school, her high school, and she spreads the love of Jesus where she's at. Because it's foolish of me to think that everything comes from me. The love of God comes to each one of us. As we spread it, it will spread on.
And this opportunity that my mom's given me has actually given me a chance to talk to my friends. I think I was at lunch or on my spare or something, and I sat there with my friends and I was just like beaming, and they're like, what's up? And I was like, I'm gonna be able to speak to my entire church about my sponsor child. And they're like, oh, you sponsor a child? And I have her in my locker, so I guess I don't talk enough about her, but I said, yeah, she lives in Thailand, this, and I get to stand up in front of my church and brag about her. And they're like, oh, that's so great. One of my friends wanted to come, but unfortunately she has a theory lesson, so she couldn't make it. But the chance that I get to share with my friends and say, yeah, I get to speak to people about her. She's so amazing. I've read my letters to some of my friends. The letters she sends me, I read them out. And it's a great way for me to speak to my friends about like the love of God without condemning them to the fire.
About that, yeah. I'm going to ask Sophie to bring one of the little people from the table. We brought a collection of little people. They're on the table. We're just going to read out to you. Again, we're not trying to make a guilt trip on you, and we understand if people can't sponsor a child today. We just want to show you what's out there and show you what the possibilities are. The costs, if you're interested in the costs are $41 a month. And on top of that, you can decide whether you give them birthday presents and Christmas presents on top of that, okay? And that's a considerable amount if you're thinking most children are living on less than a dollar a day. So to give that to them. The Compassion website, if you're very interested in Compassion, is just compassion.ca, and you can go there and you can find out about the financial, not just the implications, but also their accountability, if that's something that you're interested in. And if you notice, you can actually sponsor the most needy children. And I was kind of interested, well, what's the most needy children? And these are children that have been waiting longer than a year for somebody to come and sponsor them. And I was kind of moved by that because I thought, oh my gosh, it makes you just want to scoop each one of them up and tell them that they're loved and that somebody in another part of the world wants to help them to that extent. So I'm just going to leave that up there for a second because I want to just continue the story from Matthew 25. So each has been given according to their own ability. Then he departed and left the country. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and gained 5 talents more. And likewise, he who had received the 2 talents, he also gained 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came and brought him 5 more, saying, Master, you entrusted me with 5. See, here I have gained 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, you upright, honorable, admirable, and faithful servant. You've been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of much. Enter into and share the joy which your master enjoys. He also, who had the 2 talents, came forward saying, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. Here I have gained 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, you upright, honorable, admirable, and faithful servant. You've been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of much. Enter into and share the joy which our master enjoys. Listen carefully. He who had received 1 talent, remember, he'd hid the talent, also came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a harsh and hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering what you had not winnowed. I'm just going to pause there. The spirit of poverty has nothing to do with how much money you have in your pocket. The orphan spirit has nothing to do with whether you have physical parents. It has everything to do with your view of your Father God. And if you view him as a hard man, making you do stuff when he doesn't give you anything, making you work hard with no return, then you will not see any fruitfulness. You will not see any growth in what God has actually given you. This servant had even forgotten that God gave him the 1,000 in the first place, because he says, reaping what you did not sow. Well, hello. God sowed into that person. You see, God's already sown into your life. He's given you whatever you stand with right now, whether it's your character, your finances, the amount of time you have, the abilities you have, the kind of job you have. He's already poured that into you. What are you doing with that? Are you believing the spirit of poverty and the spirit of orphan spirit that says your daddy God is going to be really unhappy with you, so you better look after that stuff he gave you, because if he comes back and you've lost it? That's the lie that we sometimes believe. We don't believe that our daddy wants to share with us. We believe the lie that the enemy spreads about our wonderful heavenly daddy. So I want you to focus on, there's a lovely, lovely little picture there. I want you to focus not on, can I sponsor a child? I want you to focus on your heart and just say, Lord, am I vulnerable to this spirit of poverty? Am I vulnerable to this orphan spirit that tells me that if I invest or put money or time or energy into something, that I'm going to be really, really, really tired or really poor or really unhappy as a result? Because that's effectively what the servant was saying. If I put my 1,000 into something, I'm probably going to lose it anyway, because they received a spirit of rejection too. I'm going to lose it, and you're going to be cross with me, so I may as well just hide it, and then at least it's safe. As opposed to, you have given me this much, I'm going to give it away. There was a chance for those two who had 5,000 and 2,000, there was a chance that in investing, what it doesn't say in what, but in investing, they could have lost the 5,000. What do you think your heavenly daddy's response to that is? If you invest in something amazing, like a human being, just for imagination's sake, you invest the 5,000 talents and you say, I'm giving it to Mue and her school and her church, and I just want to build it. And you know what? It may not reap anything. I'm going to invest it in that. Now, the thing was, is God blesses that and you get a reward for that, whether it's financial or otherwise. But the chance was, the risk was, he didn't get that investment back. But as a result, he made more. What do you think the Lord, the Master's response would have been? That is the key. Because we know our Heavenly Father, if we invest in something amazing and beautiful like another human being, he's not going to turn around and say, well, you're useless because you lost my $5,000. You know, I'm giving you all this money, and what are you doing it with it? Saving the life of a poor child? Does that sound like our Heavenly Daddy? Does that sound like him? I want us just to stand together. I want you to put your hand on your heart. And I want us to repent if in any way we have seen God as a master, somebody who will be cross with us for using our finances or our time or our energy or our vision for something that we think he would like us to do. So just speak together. You can speak your own prayer, or you can join in with me. Daddy, I just ask for forgiveness if in any way I have held back the amazing gifts that you've put inside of me. The talent, the finances, the commitment, the influence, the time that you have placed inside of me. I am entrusting to you that wherever it goes, you are going to multiply it, and you are going to bless it, and you're going to bring back a multiplication of blessing to me. I rebuke In Jesus' name, any thought or belief that you are in any way a hard man, that you will rebuke me for losing or investing or giving away what you have placed inside of me. Instead, I choose to believe that wherever I place my love, my finances, my time, my influence, you will bless it 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. Ha. So Daddy, I just break off in this room any spirit of poverty that says, I can't make a difference, I won't make a difference, I'm too scared, I haven't got the finances, I haven't got the time. We just speak into each person's heart that whatever you have in abundance, or whatever you have a little extra of, or whatever you have, even if it is the size of a mustard seed, that you will be able to give it away, that you will invest it into a life, into a human being, into somebody, either this week, through compassion, through whatever job you're involved in. Because we know that you can start small, but think big. You can have a desire to help one child in Zambia, and before you know it, you're taking a container. You can have a desire to learn Japanese, and before you know it, you're preaching revival. You can have a desire for the lost and the lonely of Canada, and before you know it, you're out there living among the native peoples. Start small. You may never get that big, but you'll get bigger. And your vision of what God's placed inside of you is going to explode if you take that step, however small, whatever it is, just the size of a mustard seed, of pouring what God has placed inside of you into other people. Worship team, do you mind just coming up? Ha. I just feel that before we go out, we should kind of celebrate what God has placed inside of us. Be thankful for the incredible gifts and the incredible things that he's placed in our hands. And I don't just mean, just the physical things, because we're all clothed, yay. We're all fed, yay. And we're all looking actually pretty gorgeous. You all look pretty gorgeous to me. So God has done a good job of looking after you. And so let's thank him, but just be mindful that those little people that you're holding in your hand don't necessarily have that. And if you are moved to have compassion in this way, then I just encourage you. I'm going to be there at the end, and I will chat to you if you have any questions, as will Sophie. So,
all right, let's bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship your holy name. Sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the